the stark reality of a Friday in Jesus' life. In fact, it's so real and it's so difficult to process. It's almost hard to catch your breath. I know there were technical difficulties with the video, but if you watched and saw scenes that portray the crucifixion of Jesus, you know it was incredibly horrific. Words like gruesome, horrifying, unfair, unjust. So many other words come to mind when I think about the cross and his passion. I thought it was completely fitting that there were strong storms today, because I don't imagine on that Friday so long ago that it was golf weather. I don't imagine it was a gorgeous spring day. No, there was something the earth knew. There's pain in the atmosphere. There's tragedy in the trees. There's struggle all around us, because the creator of the world is being torn, beaten, and bruised. Did you see his mother in that video, the pain in her eyes? Can any of the moms in the room today even fathom what it must have been like to stay there at the foot of the cross as your child is crucified? What about the disciples? Some of them, they came off like losers, honestly. I mean, in his worst hour, in his darkest hour, they're just gone. They're denying that they ever knew him. They are they're looking the other way, not willing to just hang on and believe the word that he gave to them, that this had to happen. Sadly, I'm not sure that I wouldn't have done the same. I don't like that part of me. I don't like that ugly in me. I'm honestly not sure how communion would have gone had we partaken of it after seeing those images on screen. His body was truly broken. Someone spent time baking bread fresh so that we could have beautiful elements. Team arrived early and prepared the communion juice, all of it very tidy. There's no drops left anywhere on a counter. There's no crumbs of the bread anywhere on a floor in this building. Everything very neat, everything very clean. But the day that his body was broken, the day that his blood was spilt out, the day that he gave his life so that I wouldn't have to give mine. Here's my question. Here's my question to this beautiful Good Friday crowd. It's a simple question. What's good about Good Friday? What What's good? I mean, with all I've seen, with the other details that my imagination is filling in for me, where exactly is the good? I realize his life's purpose was being fulfilled. I realize that the very reason that he came, the reason that he came in the first place, Emmanuel, God with us, the reason that he came, all of that is being fulfilled. The disciples have argued with him. Everyone closest to him has pushed back on that idea, and yet he's told all of them to get out of his way. Disciples, if you can't stay awake with me for even an hour, then sleep on, because ultimately it doesn't matter if any of you accept what I'm doing. This is the reason that I came. His life's purpose is being fulfilled, and that's good. But I gotta say, at least in Mel Gibson's depiction of the story, Jesus, he didn't look too happy about it. Looked as though he was in pain. Looked as though he was suffering. I saw agony and cries and screams. Even asking the question, why have you forsaken me? Such despair. And yet Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He said this was joy to him. This was a day like no other day for him. This was everything to him. This was the joy. It was set before him. He endured the cross because he knew what was happening on the other side of his passion. I won't make the mistake tonight of comparing any Friday I've lived to his, or anything I've ever gone through to what he went through. But can I be honest with you tonight and tell you that often I feel the same way? Often I struggle with the same thoughts, because I have things in my life that are not going the way that I hoped they would go. Like Jesus, I feel forsaken by those I was counting on, those who I was depending on, and there is no good in that. There's no warm, fuzzy feelings that come out of that. Looking around my life, I'm pretty certain that I should be farther along by now. And yet I'm not. Supposed to have more in savings by now. Supposed to already have that retirement thing figured out. All I can say is I better die early. I'm supposed to be better than I am by now. Doesn't seem like there's any good, at least none that I can see. And Romans 8:28 tells us that we know that all things work together for good. Isn't that amazing? All things. Think about the things that are happening in your life right now. Think about the stresses you left behind today. Think about the challenges that you have under your roof. I'm not even talking about in our world right now. I'm talking about in your world. Think about the stresses. Think about the difficulties. Think about the challenges that you are facing in your life right now. And he teaches us that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. You see, as painful as Jesus Friday was, as hard as anything he suffered physically could have been, no matter who left him behind, everything was good on that Friday. I wonder tonight, is it a matter of perspective or is it a matter of revelation? Is it a glass half full, half empty kind of an idea, or do I need to get a fresh revelation on this Good Friday to realize that, wait a minute, just like Paul counseled us in 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. If I take inventory visually in my life and I see this that isn't working and that isn't working and this that is broken and that has fallen apart and this over here that is undone and that over there that has flipped upside down, I would say, you know what, this is not good. This is not good. But he said, I need you to stop living by sight and start living by faith, to realize that even though there's blood dripping from this cross, even though you hear the screams and the cries coming from this elevated place, even though you see those who love him so much grieving their loss, even though you see everything looking bleak and dark and dim, it's good. It's good. It's exactly the way that it's supposed to be. You see, faith comes by hearing. And the Bible said that you have to hear the right thing. You have to hear the word of God. You have to hear this word you're hearing tonight. Because this Friday, your Friday is better than you think it is. Can I tell you tonight that your worst day with him is still better than your best day without him? Can I tell you that no matter what you've suffered and no matter what you've gone through and no matter what you've struggled with and no matter how painful it has been, no matter what you have endured, carrying your own cross, taking up your own cross and living this life of devotion and commitment toward Christ, no matter what it is I have faced, it is a good Friday. It is a good day in my life. It is a good week in my life. It is a good month in my life. It is a good 2019 in my life. It is good because I have God in my life. Is anybody thankful to have the Lord somewhere near you? He's going into the tomb right now. If we were to look back, if you were to lay the same clock, they've taken his body down and they've wrapped it. And they've lumbered their way toward a borrowed tomb. I need to tell you tonight, they didn't borrow it because they knew it was temporary. They never had quite grasped or understood that he was going to raise himself from the dead. In fact, they doubted that. They didn't believe that. They just wouldn't even acknowledge what he was telling them. They borrowed it because they had no money to buy one for themselves. So they said, hey, we don't know how we're going to figure this out. Can we just borrow a tomb? Can we figure this thing out? He's going into the tomb right now. But hear me, if you can hold on until Sunday. I know it doesn't look good. The cross, it's a mess. And I mean, they've cast lots over here for his garments. They're gambling for his personal effects. And mom is still weeping tears of sorrow. They're lumbering down Golgotha's hill trying to be respectful and carry him so carefully toward this tomb. There is nothing good about this. It'd be nice if we had Peter's help. Where did Peter go? It'd be nice if Thomas cared anything about where did everybody go that said they would never leave him, even when the going got tough? Nothing good about this. But if I can hold on, there's a Sunday coming. Yeah, don't miss Sunday. If you don't already have plans, in fact, if you have plans, I give you permission to change them. Come be with us Easter Sunday morning, because we're going to celebrate around here the fact that he is alive, and it's going to be an Easter that is going to do something powerful to your faith. Don't get stuck in the middle. Don't get stuck in limbo. Don't live a perpetual Saturday, the day in between the suffering and the resurrection, thinking that nothing is ever going to change, believing that nothing is ever going to turn around. You have to keep moving forward. You can't stop time on Friday. You can't pause the clock on Saturday. You have to keep moving forward. You have to keep taking steps. Some of you got drug here. Some of you were carried here emotionally. Your feet have not been working. But I want to give life to your feet tonight. I want to give life to your faith tonight. I want to energize your spirit tonight. That if you can just take a step, if you can just make an effort toward Sunday, you're going to find out that there is a resurrection in your life as well. You're going to find out that even though you don't think any of this is good, that God is working for your good. God is up to something in your life. Because the good, it's not understood until Sunday. Man, they're going to get him in this tomb, and a stone is going to be rolled in front of the door. And they're going to go back to Mary's house, and they're going to cry their eyes out. And they're going to wish things were different. And they're going to regret things they said. They're going to retrace their steps. They're going to relive these moments. They're going to lament. They're going to pull their hair in frustration. Why didn't we step? We should have stepped in. Why didn't we tackle those soldiers that came? There's nothing good about this. Good is not understood until Sunday. Can I tell you tonight that a single Friday, a single solitary Friday in history changed the world forever? One day. You know what? Today, another Friday. It could be the day that your world changes forever. Today. How does that happen? How is that possible? Pastor Darrell, you have no idea what's happening in my life right now. You have no idea what I'm dealing with, struggling with, fighting with. I can't wait to get out of this building, take another pill to calm my nerves. I can't wait to get out of this building to drown myself. I can't wait to get out of this building. You don't know. There's nothing good about this. But on this single Friday, how does it happen? It happens by me accepting everything that hung on that cross. That's how it happens. Now, I've done my part. I'd make a terrible Jesus trying to climb my way up here. I wouldn't be able to do much for you. My blood would be of no value. My head wouldn't hold the crown. No, nothing man can do. You've got to accept what Jesus did on that cross. No, he did it for you. No. He did it for you too. No, he got, saw them people on stage or they were singing and it was beautiful and he did that for them. No, he did it for you too. It's for all of us. It's the gift. It's the gift of new life. Is anybody ready to accept that tonight? Anybody ready to say yes tonight? Why don't you bow your heads across the room? This has to be personal for everyone. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't even know why you're here. It's just Easter and I'm supposed to go to church. Feel like it's the right thing to do. Maybe your friend asked you to come and you literally couldn't find one other reason. So here you are. But while you've been in this house, the Spirit of the Lord has whispered in your ear, "Hey, I'm talking to you." Hey, what he's talking about, it's for you. If you're in this house tonight, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, there's no one looking around. This is just you and God. I wonder how many of you would say tonight, "I need to give my life to Jesus. I need to accept everything on that cross. I need to accept his blood. I need to accept his stripes. I need to accept Jesus." If that's you, I want you to be bold tonight, unashamed. I want you just to lift your hand. It's personal. It's just you and God. Just, that's you. If you want to make that decision tonight, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'll give you another moment because I feel like someone in this room is, you're deciding right now, "I'm ready to say yes. Yes.